Speaking a little bit about faith today and the need for it and the need for faith and stepping out. You know, I've had a challenge from the Lord this is old hat. What I'm saying has been around for a long time. I've spoken it for a long time. About the need for faith. I mean, what you do in faith. And I've actually felt a challenge a long time ago from the Lord that, you know, the things do you do them in faith? Everything. Lord challenged the way I preach. He challenged the way I give money. Everything. He said, basically, do you do works and things that require faith to do? Or do you do works and things that really don't require faith to do? And a lot of times Christians, I call it being natural, and it's not a good thing. And we do stuff in the perimeters of the confines of our own lack of faith. We do stuff in the confines of, you know, we're studying the visual landscape and thinking we understand what's going on by that. But faith is really critical. And I know that it says in Hebrews 1, faith is the insurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We know that even the word is substance, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But my thing was really important. In verse 6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." Now, I want to get a little bit into that, because if we want to learn to be pleasing to God, this is what's really critical. Am I pleasing to God? And even when we look at the aspect of faith, I want you to kind of grab this for a second in your spirit. I can't afford to not walk in faith because I can't please God. And the critical thing is that a lot of times faith is reduced to, you know, believing God for certain things. And really, faith is knowing that He is there, that He is capable, that He is a rewarder, that the stuff you do will not be vain, it will not be empty. But what does it mean? Think about this. There's two things that I'm thinking of, because we know that, you know, in Ephesians, it talks about not being partakers with the darkness, right? You were formerly darkness. You are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. So I want you to think of it this way, that your faith is a source of pleasure. It pleases God when you trust Him. It pleases God. You know, when we live our lives and we do things, let's say we do things out of obedience. We know they're the thing that God wants us to do. That is stepping in faith. What bothers me is we often look at faith simply with money or divine healing. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that's excellent, but the scope is a lot wider than that. Many times I believe that people that talk faith in a way cop out. Because they reduce God to a digit, they reduce God to this or that, they narrow the scope. But we do what we do through faith, always. It takes faith to get up and preach every week, whether the church is 3 or 3,000. It takes faith to move on in your callings. It takes faith to be obedient to what God is asking of you. But I know without it, it's impossible to please Him. And that's a huge thing. Think about this. I know when the Lord challenged my life and said, you know, the way you do things and what you do, what you tackle spiritually, could it be done with or without faith? And let me explain what He was getting at. I understood it right away when He spoke to inclined my heart. And that there are things that the only way they can work is if God is moving them. There are things you do in your life that the only way they will succeed is if God supernaturally powers them. Mm-hmm. And when He challenged me with that, how much do you do that really takes faith? And it really, really grabbed me, because I understood that we can walk in unbelief all the time. We can disbelieve God, and it's really a choice that we make. But I know that I need to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder. So when you do what you do for the Lord and you're obeying God and you say, I believe that, number one, it is God who has asked me to do this. I believe it's His will and I want to be obedient to it. That's actually a huge amount of faith. So as you are walking in faith, you are pleasing God. This is really critical. Now I want to say this. If without faith it's impossible to please God, then if I take the opposite road, it must be possible to displease God big time. You can't have one without the other. You know, I love when people talk about, you know, God's like the big cuddly teddy bear, you know, and he's just good with everything. But because it would defy a good father to be good with everything. A good father would never do that. But we have to, in ourselves, start saying, you know what, I want to get a hold of this in my spirit. You get what I'm saying? I want to know that through faith I've got to walk. I want to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. I get bummed sometimes because obviously in the Word of Faith movement, faith has been reduced to, like I said, money. Kind of you doing your plans and God prospers them. But really, it's impossible to believe God for something if God is not involved with the something I'm doing. Think about this for a minute. I could talk about how I love the Lord and how, you know, I'm going to do this big feat. That's not about it. It's the agenda of God that I'm going to connect to and say, that's God's agenda. Let's do that. And as we do that, that is faith. And we're believing God that he is there and that he's asking of us. But that first thing, is it faith or pleasing first? And I really believe the desire to please God is a huge necessity. Right now, if you went and polled the American church, trust me, you would find that a very low percentile of the American church, very low, focuses a lot on being pleasing to God. Because, number one, they have been taught a false grace where it's like a doormat for sin. They've been taught that really God's always happy with you, that he can't have displeasure with you. They've been taught another kind of truth, which is no truth at all. And I'm not talking about, I've seen people to where they were always freaking out, God hates me, you know what I mean? And then they supposedly get delivered of that and don't care what God thinks. And the balance in the middle of it is saying, I want to find what pleases you, God. So if I'm living life, doing ministry, giving my finances in a way that I'm studying the numbers, and there is no faith involved, then shame on me. You know what I'm saying? Because God's not pleased with that. Can you imagine that? Doing only what that which you can calculate and what you think, if I do this, I'll be able to do this. And I mean, it's crazy. Because what if God asks us to do more that requires faith? I realize we've kind of put in categories with faith. We've put it in another category. And there's a whole lot of things that we in our strength believe we can do. That's the problem right there. Now, the truth of the matter is, whether it's big feats, little feats, or whatever, you can have faith in each one of them if you understand that you need God to do the things you're doing the way he wants. I could preach a sermon. I could have no faith. I could lay hands on you, but do it with empty heart and not mean nothing by it. And by doing that, I would create difficulties. Think about this, guys, for a minute. But being pleasing to God, actually saying, Father, I want to be pleasing to you. And faith is so critical because so much of our life, really our steps, everything we do, centers around believing God is there. So when the writer in Hebrews says, you know, believing that he is, it's a lot bigger than most people think, because in all that you do for Christ, for the Lord, you've got to believe that he's there, that he's watching, that he has a desire for you to do whatever it is you just did, and we continue on. It's interesting, when we take a right stand and we do things for the right reasons, the throne of heaven stands with us. When we take a wrong stand and everybody loves us, the throne of heaven is not with us. And it's interesting because we want to grow in our faith. I don't know about you, but for many years, I didn't even want to talk about growing in my faith because in my opinion, if I said that, God would strain me. He would make obstacles. He would allow barriers. He would allow troubles that might, you know, threaten what I'm doing. And yet I knew as a fact that as I would get older, God would require more. Now, it's interesting. I was sitting at a restaurant, and Armand knows the Fusion, and, you know, we go there, and Roy is a guy from Indonesia. His father's a lifelong pastor. They've come stateside. Indonesia's really rough on Christians. I was there by myself one time, and he came up, you know, to the booth, because he cooks at the hibachi tables, but he's, you know, son of a pastor, and he sat across from me. He said, you know, I'd love to take you to Indonesia. I know you love Asia, and he said, it's really rough, but he said, you know, you're the guy of all guys I know, you don't sweat that stuff, because you've been to a lot of foreign nations and risked your life, and you've been there, and he said, that's not a question, and that is a matter of faith. Now, what I said back to him is it's important to know God is going with me to Indonesia, because in all these countries, Turkey, in Cambodia, in Vietnam, in Nepal, where there's oppressive governments specifically against Christianity, especially the last one, it takes faith to believe that God is with you when he's calling, that you're going to go and obey him and he is going to take care of you. The reason that I've did this stuff very lighthearted, I've never fretted and sat around, is because there's a faith in that area. And I believe God, when I go in these areas, he will get me home. Or he will take me the other home. But it will be good. But can you imagine if you walked in a way that said, Father, I want to be pleasing to you. Not getting all introverted and super focused and getting esteem issues, because that's not trying to find what's pleasing to the Lord. Trying to find what's pleasing to the Lord is simply you're going before the Lord and saying, I want to do your will and I want to do the things that please you. It's as simple as that. Now, it's interesting because I got to believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. You know, every action of faith is predicated and sits at the foundation. Every action of faith sits like this. I believe as I take this adventure with God, I believe that it's to him I'm doing it. And the returns may just come from him. Now, think about Paul. Paul, I believe, had a lot of faith. I believe that Paul believed God. He saw miracles. He did the work of an apostle. And it's kind of interesting when you watch these guys, and just, he's faithful. But Paul never had many people thanking him for what he did. He never had people complimenting him after a sermon. I really believe that. Paul walked in a way that was very difficult. You get my point? He walked in a way that was very difficult. He did not know. People hated him, but God was pleased with him. Do you understand how that worked? God was pleased. God was pleased. Paul walked in a way that pleased God. He believed that his reward was in heaven. If you read in 2 Timothy, I have fought the good fight, I've kept the faith. He speaks of, there lays before me in the future reward, a crown. This is the other part of faith that's really critical. Faith is exclusive in that. It's the only way to please God, and it's the pleasure of God that you got to care about above all things with actions of faith. The minute you start to do something because it pleases a man, even if it's a spiritual thing, it's a mistake. We have to first do the things that please God, whether it pleases man or not. Now, the fact that I can take actions of faith that will bless people, that I can do things in faith that will help my brothers and my sisters, whatever nation, wherever I'm at, that is a good thing. But primarily, faith is God-pointed. It's exclusive. You do what you do in faith. You believe where God's leading you. You know that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who seek him. That is the very premise. That's the foundation of all of it. But if you don't desire to please God, faith becomes something else. Think about it. Many times, I will see people take steps, and they're not giving God a lot of pleasure with their lives. In fact, they're grieving him a lot. I've seen this, and they just don't get it. Acts 4:17-20. This is when, remember, Peter and John were arrested at the temple. And you can even just write it. I'm going to get into it. It says, but they're trying to figure a way to shut these guys up, because this Jesus whom they crucified supposedly is walking around dead man alive. That's not working. Miracles are taking place which separate the empty religion from the real faith. Think about this. The Pharisees, the Messiah came, the promise came, and through faith, believing in him would save them. They did not. They rejected that, some of them. Because of that, they were attacking the household of faith. But they wanted to stop. They wanted to stop Peter. They wanted to stop Peter. They wanted to stop, you know, Peter and John, because they were exercising faith. I want to say this to you. Religion will always be threatened by real faith. Always. Religion will always be offended at those who trust God in the supernatural. It always works this way. Religion will be arrogant to the house of faith, because faith as a child is not rocket science. It's actually simple. So in verse 17, chapter 4, but they're saying, but so so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer in any man in this name, the name of Jesus. But when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach them, or said to, not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Peter wanted to please God. And Peter had faith because in his mind, he was going to continue to talk in the name of Jesus. Now I want you to understand this. Peter knows that as he's talking in the name and preaching in the name of Jesus, that Jesus is moving through him. And he's doing miraculous things. So when Peter says to the Pharisees, hey, you be the judge of that, meaning you guys can debate the rightness and the wrong that you think, but what I'm going to do is keep speaking what I'm seeing. I love what he says. He says, you know, we cannot, think about this, we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. When God is working, you see him. When Jesus is working, you see him. When he spoke to the apostles, they heard him. And he was hearing more. Jesus was moving Peter. Jesus was moving John. Jesus was moving James, although Herod reached out and executed James. And they were working in faith, and they knew God was a rewarder to those who sought him. There was no question. Do you understand what I'm saying, guys? There was no question. So when he's posed with that, who are you going to please, God or men? I got to keep speaking that which I have seen and heard. And I got to keep letting the Lord work through me because the kingdom is advancing. Miracles are taking place. What bothers me the most is, and you see this in a lot of churches, and you know we're just one small microcosm of a bigger picture, but that's fine, is that in America, so many Christians are battling with just simply being a Christian. This has to change. It has to change. The church in America will never make it. Now, a lot of the church and its theology has been set up to more or less humor, I call it, to humor people so they can stand in the in-between. And what I mean by that is we've even created doctrines where people can sit between lordship or not having the lordship of Christ. They're not even getting near faith. They're still deciding whether to live for the devil or God, and yet they're Christians. That is the best way to stand completely still and to not move forward. We should be praying for faith to raise the dead. We should be praying for bigger issues. Many Christians are just going, you know, I don't know if I'm going to follow you tomorrow, Jesus. They're literally like that. I've actually seen Christians for years sit on the fence. Well, they always fall off on the wrong side because prolonged indecision doesn't lean towards God. Prolonged indecision leads towards flesh, leads towards carnality. The more you sit on the fence in any issue, the more the issue is starting to take you away. Simple as that. The reason I bring it up is not an indictment against any of us, but it's a reality that I watch Christians struggle to get out of bed. I watch Christians struggle whether to follow the Lord. It's a place that God never made that place where they stand. It does not exist in the Lord. The devil made it. Think about this for a second. Indecision with the simple decision to follow Christ is not an area where a man stands or a woman stands that God designed. God has designed much ground for you to walk on in your faith, to grow, even to stumble sometimes. But what God did not design is the waffling ground, the in-between. The church needs to get onto faith. You know what bothers me the most too? We need faith, and we need to walk in faith. I see Christians getting sidetracked by social justice, seriously. Mm-hmm. Again, we're pursuing things that are taking us away from asking the questions that are actually necessary. And we're getting involved with stuff that is a distraction. There are some things that are mutually exclusive. And what I mean, if I bury my head in something, it is not going to allow me to grow in another area. Distraction is like that. It takes you away from the most pressing issues and gets you hung up on secondary issues. If you want to walk like Peter, if you want to walk like John, if you want to walk like Paul, number one, you know, you must be a dead man. No longer living for yourself. Number two, you know, you must want to please the Lord more than you want to please man. You know, it's funny. It says, a fear of man is a snare. Because it is. And the fear of man and your desire to please man before God will only result in your heart growing hard. It'll only result in you being less of the person that you need to be. Think about this for a minute. So I love Peter because he's made up his mind, because he's walked in faith, he's seen the dead raised, he has seen people healed, he's seen the guy at the gate temple, remember, in the port, the temple that got healed, and it's funny. What will you wrestle with today? Are you stuck on lordship? Are you stuck on, you know, or are you going, what's my calling? Which country will I end up in? Or what's my thing? I hope you're on the second, because like I said, I've watched people fiddle around for months completely on the fence. And again, God has not made that ground. When you stand on that ground, you're not on ground God permits. You're on ground that God will allow, just like he allows people to go to hell. But you are not on ground God designed. A lot of people don't understand this. And in some ways too, faith isn't what I feel. Faith is going to really be displayed in what I do. Many times when people preach about faith, the first thing people think about, they use the word belief in their mind and they think emotionally. That's problematic. When we prayed for a guy that had a golf ball sized tumor pressing into his aortic valve, he was healed. The doctor came to church the following week after a scan in tears. Because he's a doctor and he knew what he saw. It was there and then it was gone. It's interesting. When I stood next to the man, I put a hand on his shoulder. I felt almost nothing. There wasn't a whoosh. There wasn't a heady feeling. There wasn't like the presence of the Lord feeling. There was nothing. But that only tells you that Mike Cipolla is not the weather vane of what I feel tells me whether God is working. There was another woman, they had a fibrosis cystic and half of her one lung was gone. And they did a scan and she had the other half. It was like the doctor said it is like a baby's lung. It is so, that grew back. I watched two doctors in that church. It was a very special year. It was in the city. It wasn't here. And I watched two doctors in tears testifying to what they saw. I've never seen that in my entire life, ever. The secret to your walk. The desire to please God is going to automatically lead you to the desire to walk in faith. They're connected. Because you can't please God without faith. Therefore, if you want to please God, one of the most crucial things that the whole wheel turns on in your life is trusting faith, trusting faith, trusting faith. Every action you do, every journey you'll take, every step you go. And I'm going to tell you something. God will lead you to steps that require faith, not flesh. Trust me. The Lord will never lead you nonchalantly. Are you with me, guys? He will never lead you in an adventure that doesn't require faith, because it would very defy his very being. He will always ask you to step out. Will you do it? It's only you can make that choice. But it's really critical. Now, through the years, I've seen some amazing miracles, but one thing I've learned about faith and pleasing God is 10 years ago, a miracle that's 10 years old is not a today miracle. You know, it'll inspire you, but it won't cover you for the present. Because Jesus is in the now. He's in the here and now. He is moving in the here and now in your life. Yeah. Another thing I want to say, we've got to be careful with faith that we don't stick it in a ministry category. Our whole life as a Christian, even day to day, requires faith. I've seen Christians many times turn certain areas off. Well, I'm doing this, or I'm doing this. That's my job, or that's my banking, or that's that. No, it takes faith in every area of your life. I wonder how important the priority of faith is, how much we need it. And, you know, when you grow in faith and walking in faith, you got to realize something tonight or today. You will begin to desire to move in ways that require faith versus to move in ways that require flesh. Now, the same goes true. If you avoid faith like the plague, you will desire more and more. There will be an increase that you want to walk in ways that all the flesh can do. You know, I remember me and Matt were praying a long time ago, and he brought up the aspect, you know, about are you doing things for faith? And it grabbed me because the Lord had spoke the same word. The things you do, are you doing them in faith? And the things you pick to do, are they things that require faith or not? Now, the beauty of God being your eternal Father, and he's very patient. He's very patient, guys. The beauty of all of that is really simple. I mean, he wants to work with you. If you lack faith, he wants to give to you. If you need to grow, he's going to work with you to grow. Think about this. Now, I want to warn, faith is not jumping. You can jump and say, I'm doing something that I shouldn't be able to do, God. God better be in it. It's as simple as that. My pastor always said, don't worry about praying for the sick and all that. Do it. And don't worry about telling people they're healed. Just make sure that they are, because it's God's credibility on the line, not yours, every time you step. And I saw miracles in that church. It's funny, when a person walks in faith and supernatural power is healing people, you tend to listen to what they say, because the proof's in the pudding. I watched current miracles. You know, when Catherine Kuhlman did her healing ministry, and she's one of my favorite people as far as faith healers, because I'll tell you, there's some real strange people in that industry. But back in the day, Catherine, you know, was a very... she was a loud personality, very strong. And I remember, you know, they talked to her about, what do you do? You know, how do you do this? How do you do that? And she said, you know, I wait on the stage. And sometimes she'd wait in the back hallway of the auditorium or the amphitheater she was in. And she'd wait. And then they'd come out. She had her famous, what was that song? There was a song. Then sings my soul, my Savior died. How great thou art. And she used it every time she came out. And she said she'd wait for the Lord to move. Sometimes Catherine would be on that stage and it wasn't like, all right, 40 minutes now, the healing. Sometimes she'd have to wait and wait. And maybe an hour or two would go by, maybe three, and she'd start calling stuff out. Because she could only say what the Father was doing. She couldn't invent it. In fact, her faith didn't heal people. Her faith in the Creator touched people. He was doing that. He was moving. That's another huge mistake. You can set high agendas and lofty goals and say, I'm walking in faith. If God's not in them, they're not happening. I'll be honest with you. You can do whatever you want. If God's not in them, they're not happening. But people like Catherine Kuhlman, where you saw so many recorded healings, she trusted the Lord. She walked in faith. In fact, she always took on. Think about it. You're her and you're going to an amphitheater. People come from all over the country. Some people came from Buenos Aires to be prayed for her to be healed. The very renting of the hall when Catherine would step in there required faith, because without stuff happening, you are done. You can rent 1,000 halls and have $1,000,000,000, but if that ain't happening, it ain't happening. Now, you've heard me say this, that faith is seeing what God is doing and following Him, simply put. There's an agenda of God for each of our lives, and one of you may be called to something, the other is not, and it goes on. And the agenda of God, you've got to find it, and you've got to walk with it. And you've got to go where God's going. You've got to figure that out. See, off of pulpit, I can't preach where you go because I don't know. But I can preach that you need to find out where you're supposed to go without hesitation. You know, it's funny. In the Acts of the Apostles, which has been attractive to me since I was 5 years old. Isn't that interesting? And it says the Lord was doing many miracles through them. So Jesus was still walking. And they were just... The Savior was leading the way and they were following. And they were praying for the sick. Very critical. Now, quit trying to have Jesus empower your ideas, and rather find His ideas, because they're already empowered. And then do the things that He's doing through you. You can't do the things He's doing through somebody else when that's not what He's doing through you. You've got to find what He's doing. And there can be a collective for a church where we find the will of the Lord and then we begin to pursue it. The thing that bothers me in a lot of intellectualism is it requires virtually no faith. It really does. It's learning the facts, learning how to divide the facts to a degree. You can just read it. It's in black and white. But this should always move us to the actions of God. If the Word does one thing, it provokes you and it shows you God is alive. It shows you God is working. It shows you that you need to believe that He is, that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. Now, that's another thing. I like what it says, because without faith you can't please Him. But with faith, right? Believe that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. You know, the word in Greek there is interesting, because, you know, to find what God's doing, you'll have to seek Him. It's like prayer and this go hand in hand. They're totally lockstep. If you don't have one, you won't have the other. If you don't seek the Lord, how can you find out where He's going? If you don't seek the Lord, how can you be sensitive when He says, go over here and do this, or go pray for this person, I'm going to heal them. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When it comes to the issue of faith and God's agenda, you'll probably make some mistakes. You'll probably say, God told me to do this, and you'll do it, and it won't happen. And that's fine. You're going to be defined by how you adjust and how you learn. You're not going to be defined that everything you ever said totally came true. You're going to be defined that you can work with that. And I would say have mercy on yourself, because the mercy of God is upon us. We're learning. And my thing is, I'm getting right back to what I need to do. If something doesn't happen and I miss the Lord, then I'm going to make sure that I try to find Him the next time around. And if the agenda is a mix of stuff, a little of me, a little of God, that happens too. But you have to remember that it blesses God that you want to walk in faith and you want to know what pleases Him. And your actions are either pleasing or displeasing. But I guarantee you, doubt is displeasing. Because faith pleases God. Oftentimes, I would go into prosperity churches, especially in Texas, where you got a lot of mega churches. I mean, it's the best of everything. The best building, the best architecture. One had a full Starbucks in the foyer, you know, blah, blah, blah. But none of that's necessarily faith. Not necessarily. It's really critical we get a hold of this. Now, 11:1 says, now faith is, I wrote to King James, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance, to me, is interesting, isn't it? Because the substance is something to me that I can touch. It's provable. The weird thing about faith is the first time I experienced faith in the Lord, I was a baby believer, and he spoke to my heart about something, and I just knew to do it. My friend with me said, how do you know? How do you know? And I had faith. There was no way to explain it except it was, I could hear my Savior's voice and I could hear where He was saying to go, and I trusted His decision on that. And I went, and everything He said happened. Everything that He told me to do, I was able to do, and that was faith. Again, a lot of times we're trying to drum up in our minds some emotion that we say is called faith. And I think faith is a little bigger. I think faith is seeing God and being obedient. I really do. It's not just a feeling. But I love this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I remember when I was a young believer, and actually I've said this through the years, way more than when I was a young believer, and somebody would say, how do you know? And I'd be like, I just know. And without realizing that simple statement, really in many ways, is the second part of Hebrews 11:1. Mm-hmm. How do you know? I don't know, but I for certain know. Sounds silly almost. You know, people can call it a hunch, a gut feeling, but faith is a lot deeper than that. Here's the funny thing. When a man starts to walk in faith, or a woman starts to walk in faith, and we begin to walk with, you know, in some of the endeavors, and God begins to show us things to do, places to be. Guys, think about this for a minute, okay? I want you to think about this. When we do that, you know, and we're certain, the certainty isn't based on what we're seeing. The certainty is based that we know God is doing. Therefore, we trail. We go, I'm going. The certainty is that God goes before us, the certainty that He's moving, and I have made steps and decisions, and it wasn't that I drummed up an emotion. I prayed about it. We felt the Lord was working in this way, and He came through. And God wants to grow you in your faith in all the levels. And I want to say this. What bothers me about a lot of faith teaching sometimes is because it doesn't teach in the increments of growth. It teaches like one day you don't have it, and the next day you're at 1,010. And many times the Lord's giving you even smaller things to believe for, little things, and He's graduating you, and He's moving you forward. I read the book on biography on Francis George Mueller of Bristol. Anybody know that? He ran the famous English orphanages. Mm-hmm. And he literally would have the kids come down in the hallway, and they would put the plates out in the place settings, and they would thank God for the food that wasn't there. Mm-hmm. It's not a myth. It's not a fantasy. Do you know how many mornings groceries came into the back kitchen of the orphanage while they were praying and thanking God for today's provision? Always. We were building in 147, and I'll never forget. It took a lot of money. It took money. It wasn't cheap. And the rent went up. Everything. It was an increase. And, you know, we had looked at other places, and I was kind of the guy that had shoot for a whole lot of stuff, unfortunately. And I'd hit 3 targets when God only wanted me to hit 1. But I'll never forget as far as even getting into that and what God was doing. And I remember reading George Mueller of Bristol. And I said, I want faith like that, Father. Because we were exercising faith going into the new place. But I said, I want to be like that because you can send people. And I had a gal come in the front door of the church. They lived in Kankakee. And she said, Pastor Mike, here's a $500 check. I was coming up from the back of the building because I just ran out of drywall to build. I literally was walking forward to tell the guys we're done for the day because we don't have any money and we don't have materials. She said, I went past the exit to come here. And the Lord just totally, he just about, you know, he wouldn't let me. I started grieving. I turned my car around at the Manteno exit, came back to the building. Does this help? I said, yes, it helps a lot. Because actually $500, you buy a lot of sheetrock with that. Isn't it funny? God proposed a level of faith looking at George Mueller and in a way was inviting me. Do you want to come, Mike? Do you want to be like this? My thinking is, no, I don't want to sit down at tables with hungry children in an orphanage and believe God as a food. I want you to give me money ahead of time. I'll believe you for that money, and then I can buy a bunch of groceries. And when they sit down, the food's there. I'm being honest with you. That's kind of what I would have preferred. Isn't it weird when it comes to God saying, will you believe? We can fear that. We can almost say, I'd rather not have to believe. I'd rather not have to find your agenda. I'd rather do things in my own strength, in my own mind, in my own logic. In fact, many Christians will never live to see faith grow in themselves. That's sad, isn't it? Isn't the greatest faith we possess the one, the faith for believing that we could be born again? Let's think about this for a second. I know the Lord came to me once, and I really believe he said, the greatest faith you ever exercised was the night you got born again. The rest is easy. I thought, interesting, but true. It's a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Almost done here. I love it. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receiving for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing wherever he went. Now, I want you to think about something. Abraham was told there's a different land, but in those days, being in a land you attained was a good thing. God shows Abraham a bigger plan. Abraham didn't step out as much as he stepped after where the Lord was showing him. And Abraham goes into this place and it expands. I mean, it's amazing what happens. But I want to bring up that when there was the one king, how Abraham said, Sarah's my sister. Because he feared them killing him because she was beautiful and taking her as their own wife. How does that measure when Abraham has faith to go into the promised land, but he doesn't have faith enough to trust that his wife can be kept safe and he can just say, it's my wife. Right there is the absolute example sometimes of what it's about. Here's what I mean by that. There are times where you're going to blow it. And you're going to go, oh, that was horrible. And there's going to be another shot to not blow it. You are going to hit and you are going to learn sometimes through your mistakes as well. I'm just explaining this to you. And there's a beautiful thing because look what Abraham is the father of Israel. Abraham is the father of us all. If you think about it. But it says that he went out to this place. He didn't know where he was going. In fact, a lot of people say, you know, I'm going to believe God when he shows me exactly what I'm doing. And I'm thinking, it doesn't always work that way. He may not show you everything under the sun as to what he's doing. He may show you the next step, tell you the step, and he'll talk to you later. And are you good with that? Can you handle that? Go over here. Do this. Okay, God, would you give me the other 5 pages of information as I enter this place? Can you please show me, Father? And I'm thinking, he didn't do it for Abraham. He might not do it for you. But he'll give you the step you need to take. He'll show you the step you need to take. Think about this. There's a beauty to this, isn't it, guys? By faith, Moses, it says, when the proper time came, he didn't stay in the house of Pharaoh, but rather endured suffering with his people. It takes faith to go suffer? Yes, it does. Because he believed it was time. He believed that God wanted to do it. Think about this. You can go on and on. It says, you know, the last one I'm going to close with today is, God, how long did he wait for Isaac? 100 years. 100 years. Isaac's a boy, right? It says even Sarah had faith to conceive when she was beyond the age of conceiving. Did you ever read that in Hebrews? Didn't she argue or laugh when the Lord... Right. Again, there we go. We're right back at that same thing. How did she laugh and then believe? Well, she learned from her laughter. And then she believed. Think about this for a minute. And it's interesting with that whole thing when you look at that 100 years and then, I mean, imagine God saying, all right, now sacrifice him. You'd just be like, oh yeah, God, what? Wait a minute, what? But what does Abraham do? He goes to do it. he goes to do it. Listen, I want to explain something as we close today. If you think looking at Abraham, he's got some super faith that you can never have, you're dead wrong. If you think Moses had a faith that you could never have, you're wrong. If you think Elijah or Elisha had a faith that you could never have, you're wrong. One of the beautiful things about the Bible, the Word of God, is that it shows us the possibilities, not the impossibilities. One of the beautiful things about the Scripture, it doesn't show me what I can never be, it shows me exactly what I can be. There's a difference. Now, being raised in a Catholicistic background, I admit, I saw the Bible very lofty. You guys with me on that? I saw it very high. You know what I mean? These guys were saints, like special saints. You can't be like them. But that's completely garbage. Every image you're reading, you can be exactly like it. And you can pray. It says Elijah prayed. It didn't rain for how long? How many years? 2.5 years? It says, and then he prayed and it rained. I love it because it says Elijah was a man with a nature like mine. That is powerful. In closing, you've got to ask yourself what the task of God is, and you've got to see striving. Striving and finding where God's going are two different things. I've did it. I've pushed issues. They were kingdom issues. They were church issues. But they weren't God. And they pushed them, and they put me in debt. I mean, brought me into so much ruin. I pushed agendas God wasn't involved with. They were Christian, but they weren't my agendas. It was not what God was doing for me. Every time, though, it's funny, I'd do 7 different things, and the 8th thing was amazing, and God supplied, simply because the 8th thing was the thing God was actually involved with. I quit striving. I began seeking. Seeking and striving can be 2 different things. That one verse, Psalm 41, cease striving and know that I am God. That's powerful. Cease striving and know that I am God. Let's all rise and pray today. Father, we just pray even now as we are dismissing, and we ask your blessing, God. I know it's a Father's Day, and I'm, you know, we're many are going to eat with their fathers and wish them a Father's Day or buy a gift. I pray a blessing as we depart from this place today. I pray you would be upon us. Lord, we want the faith as a grain of mustard seed. Lord, it says we can say to that mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and it will. You gave the lowest denominator. You gave the lowest amount can move a mountain. So, Lord, it isn't about having the faith as big of a mountain. It's about having the faith as small as a mustard seed to begin with. Your blessings, Lord, you wish to move upon us. You wish to touch us. And I pray that would be the case in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, guys. God bless you, everyone. Bless you. Yeah, I'm sure some of you have to meet. Have to.